What would you do if you weren't afraid? This question lies at the heart of women's professional advancement today. Despite earning nearly 60% of undergraduate and master's degrees, women remain dramatically underrepresented in leadership positions across industries. Only 21 women lead Fortune 500 companies, a mere 4.2%, with even more dismal numbers in technology and finance. The reasons extend beyond external barriers to something more insidious, our own internal limitations. Consider how differently men and women approach opportunities. A landmark Hewlett-Packard study found women typically apply for promotions only when meeting 100% of qualifications, while men apply at just 60%. This isn't about capability, but confidence. Women consistently underestimate their abilities, attributing success to external factors like working hard or getting lucky, while men credit innate qualities like intelligence and vision. These patterns take root early. Girls are praised for being nice and helpful, while boys receive encouragement for leadership and risk-taking. By age 6, girls are already less likely to view their own gender as really smart. These messages create lasting patterns where women question their capabilities and hold back from leadership roles. The path forward requires challenging our self-limiting beliefs. When we stop asking, "Can I do this?" and start asking, "How will I do this?" we begin dismantling the ambition gap from within. Remember, feeling fraudulent doesn't mean you are a fraud. It means you're human. Too many accomplished women hover at the edges of conference rooms rather than taking their rightful seats at the table. This physical positioning reflects a deeper pattern of doubting our worthiness to contribute. During a meeting with Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner, senior women sat along the wall despite available seats at the table. This moment exemplifies how women often exclude themselves from circles of influence before anyone else does. The confidence gap between men and women emerges early. Men typically overestimate their abilities by 30%, while women accurately assess or underestimate theirs. A Cornell study confirmed that men's confidence exceeds their competence, while women's competence exceeds their confidence. Many high-achieving women suffer from the tiara syndrome, waiting to be recognized rather than advocating for themselves. In competitive environments, those who speak up advance faster than those who silently excel. When you find yourself thinking, "I'm not ready for an opportunity," ask whether a male colleague would hesitate. Challenge yourself to take risks before feeling fully prepared. Growth happens at the edges of comfort. Research confirms that as women become more successful, their likability often decreases, a correlation that runs opposite for men. A Harvard Business School study demonstrated this bias when students evaluated identical case studies of entrepreneurs Heidi and Howard. Though deemed equally competent, Howard was considered likable, while Heidi was viewed as selfish and undesirable as a boss, solely due to gender. This creates a double bind. Women must appear warm to be liked, yet leadership demands traditionally masculine traits like assertiveness and authority. When women display these qualities, they often face backlash for violating gender expectations. The key isn't choosing between likability and respect, but combining both. Success comes from balancing competence with warmth, establishing rapport before difficult conversations, and framing assertive communication collaboratively. When criticized for being too aggressive, consider whether a male peer would receive similar feedback. Sometimes, challenging these outdated expectations is precisely what's needed to advance women's leadership. Forget the career ladder. Today's professional landscape resembles a jungle gym, offering multiple routes to success through lateral moves, zigzags, and even strategic steps backward. Take Lori Goller's approach at Facebook. Rather than pursuing a specific position, she asked, "What's your biggest problem and how can I solve it?" This problem-solving mindset landed her a VP of Human Resources role despite no HR experience, demonstrating how flexibility creates unexpected opportunities. The jungle gym model particularly benefits those managing career breaks or family responsibilities. When one path closes, lateral moves can open new routes while building diverse, valuable skill sets. In rapidly changing industries, rigid 5-year plans have become obsolete. Instead, focus on guiding principles. What skills do you want to develop? What problems fascinate you? What impact do you hope to have? Remember that careers span decades. Short-term lateral moves might feel like stepping backward, but can position you for greater advancement later. Directly asking, "Will you be my mentor?" can derail potential mentoring relationships by creating pressure and awkwardness. Instead, meaningful mentorship develops naturally through authentic connections and mutual benefit. When someone demonstrates exceptional performance, senior leaders instinctively want to invest in their growth. Men typically build these relationships through shared activities and informal interactions, rarely labeling them as mentoring, yet receiving valuable career guidance. Women sometimes focus too narrowly on formal programs rather than building broader professional networks. The most effective mentorship is reciprocal. Approach potential mentors by showing how you can add value to their work. Ask specific, thoughtful questions rather than making open-ended requests. Follow up to demonstrate how their guidance helped, encouraging continued investment in your development. Don't overlook peer mentorship. Colleagues at your level often provide more relevant, immediate support than senior leaders. Building reciprocal relationships where you exchange feedback creates a lasting support network throughout your career. True equality in the workplace requires parallel transformation at home. Despite professional progress, women still shoulder twice the housework and triple the childcare as men, creating a second shift that hinders career advancement. This imbalance persists even in equality-minded couples. Social conditioning leads both partners to default to traditional roles after having children, with women becoming gatekeepers of domestic standards while men focus on breadwinning. Creating genuine partnership requires explicit discussion of expectations and division of responsibilities based on individual strengths rather than gender. Men who actively participate at home report greater life satisfaction and stronger family bonds. Successful dual-career couples treat their relationship as a joint venture. They consider both careers' long-term trajectories, sometimes alternating whose career takes priority. Partnership models must evolve with different life stages. The goal isn't perfect equality at every moment, but mutual support that enables both partners to meaningfully engage in work and family life. The having it all myth sets women up for disappointment, as no one can excel in every domain simultaneously without trade-offs. Both meaningful work and relationships require significant time and energy. Rather than seeking perfect daily balance, consider balance across longer time frames, with some periods focused on professional goals and others on personal priorities. Organizations thrive when employees maintain sustainable work patterns, as burnout reduces productivity and drives talent away. Leaders who model reasonable hours and respect boundaries create healthier workplace cultures. While technology offers flexibility, it also creates pressure for constant connectivity. Setting clear boundaries around device use helps maintain work-life separation. Success means aligning choices with personal values and priorities, not external expectations of balance.